This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Converter might sound like this, I don't know, but apparently it is something that a lot of people want to steal. It's a strange thing that's happening around many parts of the United States that this is becoming reported more and more and more, stolen catalytic converters, and now there's even insurance covering it. In Los Angeles, it's bad. They've had a lot of it happen in Connecticut. I know in Texas they have. And this is what's happening. So they're telling people, park your car in a garage or well-lit area, engrave your VIN number into your catalytic converter, install a catalytic converter protection device, install a car alarm to set off when it detects vibration. Wow. What do you do if it's stolen? When I heard this, I was like, boy, you got to have, how many cars do you have and how much space do you have for those cars? Because a lot of times it's not covered on car insurance. So, I mean, or it can be. It just depends. You got to make sure that you have that. You pay, you know, the deductible, obviously. Wouldn't that just be the worst? You come out and the catalytic converter is stolen from the car, and you hear that awful noise. What a way to start this show, by the way. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. It was on my mind. I was thinking about it because everywhere I turned, I was hearing stories about that, and it kind of freaked me out. I was thinking, what's the worst thing that happened to me? Oh, that's right. I came out of a charity event where I was helping these kids at the YMCA, and it was big, and it was in the Central Coast of California, and my car was stolen. Have you ever had a stolen car? It is very scary. First, you think you're losing your mind, and you're thinking, wait, I know I parked it there. Didn't I park it there? I know I parked it there. But they recovered it, but it wasn't in good shape. It was it's a story for another time. But I had to start off saying that because I know that these are things that we are dealing with in life, the frustration of originally 15 months ago not being able to find toilet paper, now not being able to find foam products, and of all things, coming out and having your car messed with, and then you start it and you hear that and you realize, or maybe you don't realize, what has happened to you. All right, what's happened to us now is wildfires, the Delta variant. Oh, yeah, there's a typhoon that's also flying around. And there's some good stories, I think, that would make you chuckle here that we're going to talk about, too, as well. But first, let's start with the White House. So the president did a town hall. He says he believes kids under 12 will be able to get COVID-19 vaccine soon, but it's up to scientists. He's, I think, trying to figure out where he wants to stand on the whole masking thing. I mean, he's about the masking, but the White House is actually debating pushing masking because of the coronavirus infection spikes. So should they urge Americans to wear masks in more settings because of the spikes? It's preliminary, but it might be new messaging. It might be as simple as that. And then that would include Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And they're not going to necessarily have any formal guidance because that would come from the CDC. Remember, the White House has this sort of hands-off approach with that agency because they say they don't want to interfere with the work of the scientists. But there is concern, of course there is, about the Delta variant and this focus on what measures have to be reintroduced to slow the spread. And it's kind of a mixed bag. When you go out, you see some people masked and some people who aren't. You might assume they're unvaccinated, but lots of people who are vaccinated are also wearing masks. I know two people, I've already talked about this one story. I have two friends that got COVID-19 and they're vaccinated. And they're both in their, both guys, and they're both in their 40s. And they were very, very surprised, by the way, that they did get it. So they have the coughing and the aches and that kind of stuff, but not in the hospital. That's the good news there, right? So any masking recommendations would mostly be aimed at protecting unvaccinated people, which makes up nearly all the current hospitalizations and deaths caused by the virus right now at this moment in time. So return to recommendation of more masking, that would be kind of a big shift in the messaging from the White House, urging Americans to wear face coverings in more situations would probably, you would think, in a sense, if you were looking at this politically, be a little bit of a blow or tweak or whatever to President Biden's effort to convince Americans that the virus is in retreat. Because remember, that was the last thing. Oh, it's time to celebrate 4th of July. You know, you've got people on the South Lawn, 1,000 of them, mostly unmasked. And then all of a sudden, here we go, when we just think we're returning to normalcy. There's the reopening of schools. And there's this sense of seeing people get in touch with other people and flying and all that, even though they're unruly, flying some, to see friends and family. Now this, and you would have to say that that is definitely not what anyone wants to see, but certainly not the White House. Absolutely not. All right, January 6th and the insurrection, the riot on Capitol Hill. The bipartisan idea of having of having Republicans and Democrats come together and have this investigation, that just completely was wheels off. Nancy Pelosi said no way to two of the members that Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican from California, picked to sit on the panel for Republicans. The conservatives, Jim Jordan from Ohio and Jim Banks from Indiana. And as the Speaker of the House, she can do that. But it really irked McCarthy, who said, forget about it. We're going to go our own way. He pulled all five Republicans he named off the committee. He said the Republicans are going to launch their own investigation of the facts. And that was it. And he said, we're going to run it ourselves. You know, Americans don't deserve politics. They don't deserve destroying the institution. No committee in Congress will work if one person is picking all who can serve. So we're going to have two different investigations. How much is that going to cost us? And what is it going to uncover? Are we going to get different results as a result of having two different parties do two different investigations? So during that town hall that I mentioned in Cincinnati with the president, he expressed optimism that Americans could come together amid a divisive moment on Capitol Hill, but warned against Republicans who have played down the insurrection. He said, this is a quote, I don't care if you think I'm Satan reincarnated. The fact is you can't look at that television and say nothing happened on the 6th. You can't listen to people who say this was a peaceful march. So it is a march in two different directions as far as the investigation is concerned. All right, author Dan Busby joining us next.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports Hall of Famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Dan Busby joins us. He's in our virtual green room. He's written a book called Lost in Time, Trapped in a Prehistoric World. So imagine it's 2040, and just let your imagination for a minute go wild. And what do you think you're seeing? Well, this book is all about that. Think sci-fi and think what could you possibly imagine. Dan, thanks so much for coming on.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, what led you to write this book? Have you always been a sci-fi fan?
Yep, I've always, I think even from when I was a little kid, everything was sci-fi to me. I grew up in Montana in the sticks, and my parents worked, and we were on our own, my brother and I, so we just roamed through the mountains and rivers, and our imaginations went wild on us sometimes, so that kind of was a history of mine when I later started to write sci-fi books. So, when I added time travel to that, it became something really special because time travel is just a loaded theme. No matter how, it's loaded with adventure.
Boy, I so agree. You and I both agree on that. We talked off the air, and I remember saying that to you, that I am fascinated by time travel, and then to write about it and take time and take us in a different direction. So how did you do that? Did you know you wanted to put time travel in it?
I actually didn't at first. As I grew older, maybe I started thinking, boy, if I could just go back and change this or that, things that have happened in my lifetime, I would actually do that. So But then I started thinking, man, this is kind of interesting. And, you know, there's a lot of TV shows, movies out there about the same subject. They realize that everybody likes this subject. So why not just take advantage of it?
Yeah. So you take the subject, okay, I'm going to do time travel. I like sci-fi. And then I come up with this idea, Lost in Time, Trapped in a Prehistoric World. Tell us about the book. Tell us, give us a sneak preview, if you will, of the book.
Well, it starts out right at a crucial moment in the lifetime of a young scientist who has helped to develop time travel. And then the government steps in and gets a law about, or an idea that they would like to save money by transporting hardcore criminals and, out to the Cretaceous period. So, I don't know. I mean, it's just to try to get, the viewer to see how it would feel to them if they were to invent something great and then have the law step in and your doom is precipitated by that invention. And that's what happened to Jimmy, the guy in the main character. And what he was thinking, when they transported him back to the Cretaceous period, which is the most, prolific period for dinosaurs in history. And then, I think at the forefront is trying to grasp how the people are feeling that are in this. You know, when most of them are transported and immediately they get, killed. And what kind of, adventure is that? It's a negative kind. But there's negative and positive through this. But it's all just kind of like living on the edge.
Yeah, you can feel it in you telling us about Jimmy and getting transported back and others getting transported back and then getting killed immediately. And does the word spread that if you get transported, there's a great chance you won't make it?
Yeah, they actually knew it when they were doing experiments and actually found out that people had that happen to people during experimentation. But, the question arises, do I really think this is going to happen in the future? That our society is going to become that hardened and that, whatever you call it, police state. Like, I don't think so, and I hope not, but I think it's possible. You should be prepared for anything in this the world we live in.
Well, that's true. So what do you hope people take away from reading about Jimmy and the other characters and your book, Lost in Time, Trapped in a Prehistoric World?
Well, I just hope they can have some enjoyment, and high adventure turns out to be good enjoyment. So we're talking about high adventure, and they can be happy that they're in the chair and not one of the participants, and that... But anyway, time travel itself poses a great window for adventure, and I just think they should feel good, like they are glad they spent that time reading about this, because it is a possibility that that could exist, that can be invented. And I wouldn't be surprised to see it invented or discovered time travel in the future.
Boy, yeah, there's a lot of people interested in that and trying to figure out a way to make that happen. Was it fun for you to write the book?
Yeah, it definitely was. And I've tried to write books that I really wasn't interested in, and it doesn't turn out. So I found that this holds a keen interest for me. And I can sit down, and it's not hard to write. I think it's all a matter of whether you're interested or not. You can do a great job if you're interested.
Well said. And you can pick up this book on Amazon, Lost in Time, Trapped in a Prehistoric World. Dan Busby, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
All right, back to the modern world. A teenage pilot had to make an emergency landing on a place that I have probably crossed over, I don't know, maybe 60 times in my life, a New Jersey bridge that connects Ocean City to what I call the mainland. I mean, you're really just going over the beach. But Landon Lucas, 18 years old, was flying a banner plane over South Jersey, the shoreline, when he realized the airbox of his plane was dangling off the spring, so it was preventing that proper flow of fuel on the airplane. And he tried to land at the Ocean City, New Jersey Municipal Airport, but as the airbox continued to malfunction, he knew there's no way he's going to make it. He said, "It was a little stressful. You're right in the danger zone. I was feeling overly excited to land. You just have to do it. You just got to land. You just got to land." I love this kid. And he saw that there was a clearing on the bridge. So there was, you know, it wasn't backed up. And he declared an emergency at 12:37. This happened on Monday. And he glided it down right on to the bridge. It's a highway that connects Ocean City to mainland New Jersey. And this single-engine Piper plane landed on Route 52, that's specifically at the bridge. And there he was. He was this only person on the plane. He didn't have any injuries. There wasn't a scratch on the plane. There was some traffic around him. They were all stopping to take pictures. Let me get a selfie and then move on. But how about that? So the FAA and the National Safety Transportation Board, of course, do that whole investigating thing. But bravo, well done. Imagine you're 18, you're in this, it's a small plane. You're in this plane, and like he said, you're stressed, but you got to put this sucker down, and you see a clearing on the bridge. And like I said, I've been over that bridge probably too many times to count, and it's a cool bridge, but it's a small bridge. It just really connects you from the highway, boom, over the water, right into the beach area of very populated Ocean City, New Jersey. So I think that's pretty spectacular that he was calm, cool, and collected enough to pull it in and to be able to do that. Hey, good news about this Typhoon Impha. It apparently weakened a little bit, and it's over the northwestern Pacific Ocean. It's impacted parts of Japan. It might regain some strength and potentially lash out at Taiwan and parts of China by the weekend, but it looks like it's not going to really pack the punch it could have packed. But we'll see. Sometimes when it's slow moving, that can all change, especially with the winds. All right, hang with us. It's all about death. The business of death can be funny. You're going to love Terrence White. I love this guy. He's so funny, and he's got great stories next.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
A vote to begin debate on an infrastructure package in the Senate failed on Wednesday as Republicans scuttled the procedural vote, saying they wanted to see the final bill and an analysis of how its contents will be paid for. The 51-49 party line vote fell short of the 60 needed to begin debate. Negotiations among a bipartisan group of senators over the bill's revisions will continue with the goal of bringing it back to the floor for a vote next week. Utah Senator Mitt Romney saying that he hopes the group can have the package ready for a vote by next Monday. And a wildfire in Central California that began Tuesday afternoon has already grown to burn about 2,000 acres. The Kern County Fire Department says the peak fire is burning about 50 miles northeast of Bakersfield and is currently 10% contained. The U.S. Forest Service is still investigating the cause of the fire as it joins dozens of other wildfires already burning in the western U.S., fueled by severe drought and extended periods of high heat. You're listening to USA Radio News. Cuba's government has criticized the U.S.'s government reaction to recent protests on the island, accusing the U.S. of instigating the demonstrations on social media. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says he's calling on the Biden administration to do more to get the Cuban people back on social media after the island's regime blocked internet access. He tells Fox News that beaming internet to the island would allow protesters to communicate and keep the freedom movement going.
From day one, the people of Cuba have been protesting and demonstrating against the communist dictatorship in Havana. It's not because of vaccines. It's not because of these side issues. They want a new government. They want a free Cuba. And it's, I think, incumbent upon us in the United States to be supportive of those efforts. I've called on Joe Biden. The communist regime has shut down internet. Let's work to beam internet onto the island of Cuba so these folks have a fighting chance to converse with one another, to send what's going on to the outside world. Let's build an international coalition so that the regime knows the free world stands with the people of Cuba.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale!
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay, whale, whale, whale! Oh, no, whale!
Tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Well, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Right now, Terrence White has written a book called Rest Easy, A Life's Journey to the Last Day. It's so interesting. I was just talking to somebody about this, and it was a question that Terrence and I talked about off the air. Imagine if you knew your last day. Would you rest easy? What would that feel like to you? So, Terrence, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So what? Let's talk about your road to Rest Easy and creating this book. What made you decide you were going to put your thoughts down and put this book together?
Well, back in 1993, I entered into the death care business with a rather large casket and urn company. And I had, through that time with that company, I've had the opportunity to have conversations with different funeral professionals, all the way from the funeral director to the gravedigger. And through all those conversations, I started to realize that I need to start writing some of this stuff down. So between the stuff that I've learned from the people in that industry and the things that I have experienced, I thought it would be a good idea to get all this stuff in a book. As I was writing for the book, I started to realize that the important part of this whole thing was learning how to actually live until the last day. And so that kind of extended that book a little bit further than what I had originally planned, but it worked out well.
You know, it's so interesting because you've, in the funeral business, you've been from Chicago to Milwaukee to Green Bay to Kansas City to Fullerton, California to Houston, Texas, etc. And so you've seen this through all kinds of different eyes, and you talk about life in general. And another thing that stood out to me that you said to me is stop worrying, start doing. Is that what happens? People worry their life away, and then all of a sudden it's too late?
Yes, and that's the one thing that I learned as a celebrant within this industry is having the opportunity to talk to families of lost loved ones. As you let them talk and talk it all out, talk about the life of their loved one, they start to realize that, hey, you know, I think I've been wasting my time. Look at all the cool things that Uncle John did throughout his life. I need to get to work, you know. And so that's kind of a cool aspect of this whole business is letting the people that are hurting, let them talk it out, and they'll come to the realization that, yeah, there's a lot of things that we're doing that's not so important anymore.
Yeah, no kidding. And you talk about these 9 steps that you have nothing to lose but a lot of things to gain, love to gain, really. You talk about accept others even if you get rejected, walk more, drive less. Boy, I tried to do that. Make amends but don't beg. Surround yourself with the people who you love. Boy, amen to that. Look for ways to improve your days like meditation. Treat others with respect. Steer clear of people and things that make you angry. Give freely of yourself. Remember that things have no value when you're gone. That's a big one, too. It's about things, right? People are all hooked into what are they acquiring. I mean, look, Jeff Bezos has made billions on selling us everything under the sun. And so there is something about it. I heard one time, who was it? Denzel Washington said, you know what? There's not a U-Haul that goes behind you with all your stuff when they put you in the ground. So there really is something to that. In this book, you have also, I mean, really thought-provoking questions, all that. It's really well done, Terrence. But you also have funny, funny stories. Give us one of your funny stories.
Well, to me, I think the funniest story was my trip as a young man with my grandmother to the very first funeral that I ever attended. And, of course, this was back in the 50s. And back then, and even before then, a lot of times they would have funerals at the person's house instead of the funeral home. And when we walked up to this front porch, this poor guy is laid out in this casket on this front porch. And of course, the casket is just jammed with ice to keep him cool. and I thought we were heading to a buffet. And when we got up there, as tall as I was, I could see the face of a person inside this big box, and it just kind of freaked me out. And I'll never forget, as long as I live, after we got out of there, I asked my grandmother why we had to go to this, and she says, I'm sorry to bring you to this, she says, but I had to go. I just wanted to make damn sure he was dead.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's a great story. Thanks for sharing that. And again, we're talking with Terrence White. The book is called Rest Easy, A Life's Journey to the Last Day. And when you've talked to funeral directors, what's it like for them? Because I've talked to a few, and you've talked to way more than me. And it seems like, I mean, this is a business. They just have to treat it as a business. Not that they're callous, but they can't be weeping in corners all day long. And there's some tragic stories they have to deal with.
Yes. And for the most part, any funeral director that I've ever known has been in a very professional situation where they know how to handle a good and bad situation. And the one thing that they've learned that a lot of us need to learn from them is that they're able to sit and listen. And when a family comes in and starts spewing out all this, you know, the bad things that are in their system that they need to get out. I guess the best place for them to do it is right there at the funeral home. Most funeral directors will just sit there and they'll listen. They'll let them get it out, but let them get all that poison out of their system. There's no sense in trying to calm anybody down in a situation like that. They have to get that out. They have to get it out. And so they've learned that, and a lot of us need to learn what they've learned. And it's wonderful to sit and watch some of these guys operate. They know how to handle people in good and bad situations. And I tell you, if you ever have an opportunity to just sit and talk to a funeral director, I think you'll come away thinking, man, oh man, it takes a real certain person, kind of person to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. And you know, you spent over 27 years as a funeral professional. Did you think that you would be in the business of death?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. But I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did. I guess this was the thing that needed to come my way for me to start to learn how to live my life. And to realize that, and I was the same way. You know, I was more into the material things of life. And, after talking to a lot of families and a lot of funeral directors, I come to realize that the things are not important. It's how you live your life each day.
Boy, isn't that true? What do you hope, and I think you've said it, but what do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, a couple of things, actually. I hope, number one, that they learn that first off, they need to get out there and get their funeral business taken care of and get it off the plate so that they could start living their life and not worry about what their family is going to have to deal with once they're gone. But the real important part is just learn to take each day with a grain of salt, enjoy it. Walk it, write it, do whatever you got to do for that day. Smile, turn the television off. You don't need to be listening to the news anymore. And just make your own news. Enjoy yourself. And I think once people start doing things like that, then we're going to get back together again. We're going to start enjoying each other's company again. And I think this world's going to be a whole lot better.
Yeah, so well said. Absolutely. And this is a business. I mean, you know, the death care industry, this is a business. It's like that old joke, death and taxes, right? That's the two things that are inevitable. It's recession-proof. It's recession-proof, right?
Well, to a certain degree, yes. What's happened over the last, 25 years is the casket side of the business has started to deplete itself, and not to the point where it's going to go away anytime soon, but more and more people are opting for cremation now, and for various reasons. Sometimes it's because they just don't believe in burial, or sometimes they just think that the ashes thing makes more sense. And it is less expensive and things like that. So there's that. So the businesses that surround the death care industry have to be smart enough to follow that lead and stay with it. And for the most part, they have. A lot of them have kept their heads above the ground or above the water and been able to go forward with it. So. My hat's off to them, but the important part, I think, what they've all learned, is particularly in death care industry, is to listen to the people and listen to mom and dad and listen to the kids and listen to how they look at life and not necessarily how you think life is inside that funeral home.
Mm. Wow. So well said. I mean, this was a great conversation. Rest Easy, A Life's Journey to the Last Day. Terrence White, you can get it on Amazon. Really a lot of funny stories, too, in it. Terrence, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Kay. I appreciate it, and you enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. You too. Delaney, we have Ashley Cantano with us. She's the public policy manager at Facebook. She's going to share some information on the COVID-19 vaccine. I know that a program started a couple of months ago. Tell us more about that, Ash.
In April, we launched a program to support pop-up vaccine clinics in low-income and underserved communities around California. Today, we're sharing that we've expanded that program to Austin, Boston, Chicago, New York, Seattle, and Washington, D.C. It's really important for us to support the communities near our offices, and this is one way we can do that.
What about mobile vaccines?
Near our headquarters in Menlo Park, we're also teaming with local nonprofits to operate a mobile vaccination truck. Each Friday and Sunday, the truck will park at nearby schools and community spaces.
Ashley, where can we find out more information?
Check out www.about.sb.com/news for all the details.
Thanks, Ashley, for sharing the information on COVID-19 vaccinations.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Claire Cinnamon joins us now. She's in our virtual green room, and she's got a book called Delana. It's actually a trilogy, so it's book three of the trilogy that she's written. And these are the kind of books that just pull you right in. And especially this main character is so fascinating. Claire, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about Delana. Let's talk about Lainey. That's the nickname. What do you want people to know about her?
So Delana is just every woman in one way or another throughout the trilogy. She's 20 years old when it starts, and she has inherited a large farm, so she has the challenges of that. She's trying to get her education. She falls for the rival neighbor farmer who's older than her across the street. So she has a lot of different things going on at one time at that coming of age, you know, 20 years old. And then as the trilogy goes on, she evolves, and through making her decisions and through her losses and grief and a lot of suspense and some people doing her wrong. So she has choices to make and has to grow up, and I've just had a lot of people tell me, wow, I can really relate to Delana's progress and changing as she becomes a woman.
And you and I talked about this off the air. She really is a revolutionary girl turned woman, right, because of the fact of what she does as a female farmer.
Yes. So I live in South Georgia where farming is everywhere. It surrounds me. Had not given much thought to the fact that there still are not a lot, hardly any female farmers. When I wrote about Lainey as a girl farmer, because she inherits this land from her father and there's no one else, it didn't occur to me that it was revolutionary. It seemed different, but not necessarily revolutionary. But that's what's come from the readership. They love reading about her on the farm, and she truly is the manager and the owner of over 10,000 acres of land in Mississippi.
Wow. So in writing this, you know, they say you know what you write, and you've got such an imagination, and I think this is why you have really, really pulled the readers into your character and into your books. Was it fun for you to read about things that you've seen and know and put them in this tale about Lainey?
So I wrote Lainey Cash when I was 26 in the year 2000, and I am a compulsive and frenzied writer. Whatever I wake up and write, it's been that way since I was 4 years old. Nothing's plotted out or planned. So I just woke up one morning at 6 a.m. and started Lainey Cash, and 8 days later, the first book was finished, like 20-hour days. That's how I do it. But, yes, I wrote what I knew. I wanted to finish a novel at that point. I had started plenty but not finished. So what do I know? I know Southern girls and farming and small towns and all of the tragedy and corruption and joy and outdoors, all of it is in there. And so I just wrote what I knew that first go around. Now, I've written and finished a lot of novels since then, and I've been a lot of places around the world. But I look back at Lainey and say, yeah, this is so authentic.
I love it. So what do people not know about farming? What do you think the misconception is about farming that people don't realize?
Well, in book two of the trilogy, Jed, who, by the way, the female readers are absolutely in love with, and Lainey is too, at times she is, at times she can kill him. But anyway, they get into a conversation about the myths of farming, and I did that on purpose because my husband won National Farmer in 2015, and so we've been around the country with farmers from all kinds of regions and different crops. And there are a lot of myths, and it doesn't matter what you plant or where you live, the myths are the same, either that farmers are really poor or farmers are really rich. That one gets around a lot, you know, and that either farming's really easy and you don't have to be smart, you know, that one is also really big. And I'm in constant admiration of farmers nowadays, and whether they're female or male, they are scientists, teachers, experimentalists, business people. They have about 15 different roles they have to play, you know, and farms are corporations nowadays. Lainey and Jed's farms are totally corporate size. You have to have several thousand acres, you know, to make it nowadays, really, honestly, just the fact of how much the equipment costs. And so then it turns into more of a corporate deal where you have a lot of people working for you and a lot of different ways that you generate income. So Lainey and Jed, both are masters of spinning all those plates at one time like any good farmer.
Yeah, wow. So, you know, you, again, this is a trilogy, and that's it. That's what's so great, that it really pulls people in, and you finish one book, and then you're on the edge of your seat, and you're ready to read the next one. And I'm wondering, are you going to do more on this?
Well, maybe now's the time to reveal. There is a sequel to book three, and that will be coming out next year. I have not released that information anywhere, and I've been waiting for the right time, and you're the first person who's asked. So, yes, there will be more about the Cashes and the McCrays, that's the two families, coming out because the response has been tremendous from people everywhere, and I'm overwhelmed and honored and glad to write more about them.
Wow, the Cashes and the McCrays goes on again. How exciting. Congratulations on that, and people will be thrilled to hear that for sure. And I can only imagine what that adventure's going to be like. And so we've been talking with Claire Cinnamon about the trilogy, about the new one, you know, talking about Lainey and, you know, what's happening here in this one. And I know you don't want to give it all away, but give us just a little taste of what book three is about.
Yeah, so book one, you're just introduced to her, and she inherits that farm, and she seeks Jed McCray across the street because she is overwhelmed until she gets a handle on it. Book two is more about their love story and her coming into her own, and then also there's a lot of corruption. You know, people fight over land a lot. That's common. So you see a lot of corruption there in book two while they're trying to pursue their love affair with each other. So book three, she's 22, I think, and she is wanting to finish her education, and she just goes off on a whim and decides she needs to go away for a while. So you see more about her new beginnings in a new place, finishing her education, and honestly deciding whether there's a place for Jed in her life or not. And it's not a fairy tale. It has very romantic and lovely moments between them. But she's a modern woman, and she actually weighs, you know, whether what comes next, her career or him or both, like a lot of people have to do nowadays.
Boy, that's true. Claire Cinnamon, it's such a delight to speak with you. And I'm thinking about how you come up with these stories and how this character has just evolved. Is it fun for you? Has this been a fun ride?
Yes, it is. Totally fun for me. And to see these books published 19 years after I wrote Lainey Cash, which was on purpose. I wasn't really seeking publishing in the beginning. I wrote all the time until my husband said one day, when you write 8 to 20 hours a day, I don't think that's a hobby. So from there, you know, I said, yeah, it's time. My kids are grown. Let's see what we can do with this. It's been nothing but fun. I can't say that when these characters come to me and I get in a frenzy, I won't pretend that every moment of that is fun. But in the end, when I close a finished book and that I'm on my fifth one that's been published now and have lots more to go, it's the most rewarding thing ever. Yes.
Wow, good for you. So what the reaction, we know the reaction the readers have had, and obviously your husband, what a gift, as he tells you this is more than a hobby. What about other people in your world? What, you know, what do they say about your writing and these novels?
I'd say something that's exciting to me. The female readership is growing massively, and I hear great things, and about the other books, too, that are out that are separate of the trilogy. But something that is exciting for me, it never occurred that men would love the books, and I don't know why that didn't occur to me, because there's as much suspense as there is romance. But to hear from men a lot in private messages especially, that they have, you know, they finished book two of the trilogy, when can they get more, and that they can't put it down. That's been exciting for me.
Yes, and you're right. People don't, I think people don't realize that there are men that like romance, too, but also the thrilling part. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of times they send private messages, and in a private message, they don't mind admitting that the romance is pretty dang good, too. So, you know. But my husband, he's addicted to all the books, and he's like, yes, I like the romance, but the suspense part, there's some deep. I majored in psychology, Kate, and so I really like to dip into human emotion, and so there are some devious characters popping up here and there in every book.
Well, it's very fun, and it's fun to talk to you. Claire Cinnamon, congratulations. And again, this book that we're talking about is Delana. You can get all of the books, of course, if you go to Amazon. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. I enjoyed it.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet. Stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.